Thank you for bringing the gospel to my part of the world. I'm a believer today because you sent out missionaries. Thank you for bringing the fire of the gospel to us. Secondly, I have come to tell you good news. The fire of the gospel is burning in my part of the world. It's burning stronger than ever. Thirdly, I've come to ask you a question. Is the fire still burning here? And I think he was able to summarize it. Because in the West, we sent out pioneer missionaries 100 years ago, 150 years ago. And when you read their stories, you read of people with fire in their hearts and the experience of the kingdom in their lives. But today, in many of the Western churches, we have the right theology. We know all the Bible stories, but we are lacking experience, aren't we? And if you go into a Western church and say, can you tell me a testimony about God's miracle working power? I think many places it will be very quiet. We have much knowledge, but we don't have that much fire or experience, do we? I would like to share with you this morning a simple biblical principle that I think will sort of focus this in a good way. Will you turn with me to Matthew 14? And we will read from verse 15 through verse 21. And let us ask the Lord to reveal his scriptures to us and open our eyes. Father, we ask you to open our eyes so we can behold the great wonders in your word. Lord, we ask that you will not let just this be a Bible story, but that you will speak to each one of us and show us what you would have us do. Come with your spirit and enlighten us. Reveal your word to us. Amen. As evening approached, the disciples came to him and said, "This is a remote place and it's already getting late. Send the crowds away so they can go to the villages and buy food for themselves." Jesus replied, "They do not need to go away. You give them something to eat. But we have here only 5 loaves of bread and 2 fish, they answered. "Bring them here to me," he answered. And he directed the people to sit down on the grass, taking the 5 loaves and the 2 fish, and looking up to heaven, he gave thanks and broke the loaves. Then he gave them to the disciples, and the disciples gave them to the people. They all ate and were satisfied. And the disciples picked up 12 baskets full of broken pieces that were left over. The number of those who ate was about 5,000 men, beside women and children. Jesus had preached that day. And I mean, I think Jesus must have been like one of the Chinese preachers. He preached all day, not like we do in the West. And when it got late, people got hungry. So the disciples, they suggested, "Jesus, let the people go and buy food for themselves." But Jesus said, no, we won't do it like that today. But we only have 5 loaves of bread and 2 fish. Then Jesus blessed the food. And they were all fed. I don't know how many people were there that day, but we read there were 5,000 men. And in addition to the men, you had all the women. And wherever you have women, you got children. So they could have been 10,000, maybe 15,000, could have been even 20,000 people that day. And I think you agree with me that if you have 5 loaves of bread and you have 2 fish, and if that is enough to feed 10, 15, 20,000 people, you have seen a miracle. Do you agree?
Yes.
Let me ask you a question. When do you think the miracle took place? Well, I realize the Bible doesn't say that specifically, but I think the word is quite clear. Because we're dealing here with a spiritual principle that is foundational for Christian living. It's all through the Bible. Well, let's look at the alternatives. Do you think that the multiplication, the increase of the food took place when Jesus blessed it? Imagine Jesus holding a fish in his hand, blessing it, and wham, it became a whale. Well, he could have done it. I mean, he was the second person in the Godhead. He was the one who spoke the world into being. He spoke the galaxies into being by the power of his word. Of course he could tell a sardine to become a whale. Would be no problem. But I don't think it happened like that. No, I think it happened like this. Jesus blessed the food. Then he took each one of the loaves of bread and he divided in, so he had 12 portions altogether. Then he took each fish and cut each fish into 6 parts. Then he called his disciples and said, "Please come up here." And he had them all lined up on one side. Then he walked over, took 1 portion of bread and 1/6 of a fish and gave it to each one of the disciples. And then he turned to the disciples and he said, "You give them to eat." What do you think they felt like? Can you imagine Peter standing over here in one hand holding a little less than half a loaf of bread? In the other hand, holding the tail of a fish, listening to the words of Jesus, "Peter, you give them to eat." Can you imagine the feeling? "But Jesus, I don't have enough. I don't have what it takes. I don't have the resources. I can't do it." You know, that's how I feel when I listen to the words of Jesus. "Go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature." When I walk down on the streets in Kowloon and I see the multitudes. When I walk out in Central and I see the multitudes in the rush hour. When I walk the streets of Beijing. When I walk the streets of Kolkata or New Delhi or in Manila. And I see the multitudes, the millions without Jesus. And the number growing all the time. And I hear the voice of the Master, "Preach the gospel to every creature." I feel like Peter. I feel like the other apostles. "But Lord, this is impossible. I don't have what it takes. I don't have the resources. I don't have the ability. I cannot speak. I don't have the funds. I don't have the finances. I don't have the organizational skill. I don't have the backing. I can't do it." You know what I'm talking about? Have you ever felt that way? Or when somebody hurts you and you read the word and he says, "Forgive." "But Lord, I cannot forgive. Don't you know what that person did to me?" Or when somebody treats you like an enemy and Jesus says, "Love your enemies." "Lord, this is impossible. I can't do that." You know what I'm talking about? Be like Peter, like the others. But you see, these were disciples. And a disciple is characterized by obedience to the Master. And I can see how it must have taken place. You know, it's just like Peter stood there, trembling. But he had to make a choice. And the choice was whether he wanted to be obedient or not. whether he wanted to start a discussion with Jesus or not. So he broke off a little piece of bread. And if Peter was like me, he would take a very little piece of bread and an even smaller piece of fish, trying to stretch the food as far as possible. You know, we like to help Jesus. And he would walk over to the first one there and give it to the first one. And then he would walk over to the second one. But then when he came to the third one, what was this? So when he came to the fourth one, he looked down. And then he saw it. As he gave, he received. The miracle took place between his fingers when he acted in obedience. And I can see the smile on Peter's face, you know. He said, Jesus, he did it again. And he looked at the other disciples, and they had experienced the same thing. And now they became generous. Now they took 50 chunks of food and gave them more than they could eat. How do I know? They have to collect 12 baskets left over. What is the principle? It is very simple, yet profound, yet life-changing. God will never ask you to do anything that is impossible. Did you get that? God will never ask you to do anything that is impossible. If he did, he would be unjust. Would you ever ask your child to do something you knew your child could never do? Like your four-year-old, drive down to the supermarket and buy some food? God is not like that. God will only ask you to do what is possible for you to do. But when you do what is possible, when you do everything that is possible, that's when God steps into the picture and he will do the impossible. You do the possible, he will do the impossible. We don't like that. You know why? Because it requires faith. And faith is spelled R-I-S-K, risk. And we don't like that. We would like the story to have been that Jesus blessed the food and we all stood in amazement as the food started growing into a big mountain, and then we could take the food and give it to the hungry people. But it doesn't work like that in the kingdom. You gotta step out in faith. This is all through the Bible. Do you remember the Israelites when they were going into the promised land? They came over the hill from the east. Moses was gone. Joshua was the new one in command. And the people, million, maybe 2 million, they marched down into the Jordan Valley. At the bottom of the valley was the River Jordan. In those days, it was a mighty river. Now it's very small because they use the water for irrigation. But when they came closer, the first one carrying the Ark of the Lord on their shoulders, and they marched in a long line. We often forget that these were people just like you and me. Same temptations, same challenges. Can you imagine a conversation taking place? The first ones carrying the Ark. One looked at the other and said, look at that river, that's mighty big. A little later, do you see a bridge? No, there was no bridge. Got a little closer, you know, they started sweating, you know. Do you know how to swim? No, none of them knew how to swim. How do I know? These people were born and raised in the desert. You don't learn to swim when you live in sand. And then they got closer. 10 steps away. 5 steps away. 4, 3, 2, 1. That's where most Western Christians stop. We can gladly walk 40 years in the wilderness, but often we stop 1 step away from doing everything that is possible, and therefore away from experience the miracle working power of the Lord. What do we do? Oh, we have a solution for this. We see a problem, so we form a committee. And the committee is to analyze the situation. 3 months later, the committee brings before the eldership of the church their proposal. We need to establish a bridge building company. And we work. We work hard. We get ulcers and heart attacks because we work so hard for the Lord. And then 3 years later, a beautiful bridge has been built. Joshua goes up on the bridge, they blow the shofars, and they cut the ribbon, and they walk across. God is sitting in heaven, looking down and said, if that's the way you want to do it, it's okay with me. But I had a better plan. I had a better way. And by the way, you will never reach the Gaza world for me if you try to do it by human strength and human endeavor. You need my miracle working power.
Yes.
But you see, the Israelites, they had spent 40 years in the wilderness and they had learned obedience. So they came to the riverbank, stepped out. Maybe they held for their nose, I don't know. Maybe they were fearful, I don't know. But they were obedient. And we read that when the sole of their foot touched the water, they had done everything that was possible. They came to the point of no return. That's when God stepped in and divided the river. And they walked over. In this way, we become God's co-workers. You do the possible, he will do the impossible. In the same way, the walls of Jericho fell. You remember the story? God said, walk around the city. Walk around the city another day. After 6 days, do you think they got tired? Have you ever been tired being obedient? And then on the seventh day, they were to go seven times. Can you imagine what happened? The walls around the city of Jericho probably looked much like the Great Wall in China. You could walk on top of the wall. I can see the people of Jericho laughing, ridiculing, making fun of the Israelites. You see, when you are obedient to the Lord, people will make fun of you. They will ridicule you. They will laugh at you. They will think you're stupid. That's part of the price. And that's why it's so easy to pull back. But these people walked. And on the seventh day, seventh time, they blew in the shofars. Did the sound make the walls tremble? No. God did. But they had to be obedient first. You see it in the New Testament. You remember Peter sitting in the boat with the other disciples? And Jesus came walking on the water. Peter was a sanguine, you know, a sanguine. Sanguines are people who walk into a room with their mouth first. They talk first. And Jesus came walking on the water. And Peter said, is that you, Master? Then I asked me to come to you. Peter was a fisherman. He knew that you don't walk on that stuff. You sink in it. Jesus said, Peter, come. I can see the other disciples sitting in the boat. Said, gee, Peter, please. What did Peter have to do? He had to do the possible. He had to lift one leg, put it over the side of the boat. Step on the water. The other leg. Then he had to walk. Then Jesus did the impossible. He held him up. Yeah. But then Peter made a mistake that is so easy to make. Then Peter started to look at Jesus' part of the bargain. Instead of his own. He started to wonder, how can Jesus do this? He looked at the waves, the wind, the weather. Unbelief came into his heart. He started sinking. Then Jesus grabbed him and lifted it up. Do the possible. God will do the impossible. This is in principle in our spiritual lives as well. If a person is away from the Lord, oh, you meet them everywhere. People in India, Hinduism, in Buddhism, in Shintoism, try to build a stairway to heaven. Try to reach up to God. They can't. What can you do? Do the possible. What is that? God has written that in his word. Call upon the name of the Lord. And you will be saved. John 1:12. All those who received him. Can you receive him? Everyone can receive him. Everyone can repent from their sins and invite Jesus to come into their hearts as Savior. That's the only thing you can do. That's the possible. Then he will do the impossible. Yes. All those who receive him, he gave them power to become children of God. He will come with his Holy Spirit, regenerate you, make you a child of the King, give you a passport to the kingdom of God with a future in heaven. What if you carry guilt? You feel guilty because of things you've done. Guilt is one of the most widespread diseases in the world today. Guilt is what happens when you break the laws of God. What do? All people try to do all kinds of things. Some start partying, some drink alcohol, some goes into pills, some starts become workaholics. All kinds of things. But the message from the Word of God is clear. Do the possible. What is the possible? In 1 John 1:9. Confess your sins. He is faithful and just. So when you confess your sins, can you confess your sins? Of course you can. That's the possible. That's what you can do. You confess your sins, then he is faithful and just. So he will do what no man can do. He will forgive your sins. And he will also cleanse you from all righteousness. If you're sick, can you heal the sick? Of course not. But you can do the possible. On sick they shall put their hands, and they shall recover. Yes, but what if they are not healed? That's not your problem. Your problem is to obey and leave the rest to God.
Yes.
Obey and leave the rest to God. What if you go through difficult circumstances? What do you, if you go through horrible circumstances, then do the possible. You can thank the Lord, praise him. In 1 Thessalonians 5:18, in all things, give thanks. During all situations, thank him and praise him. Let me tell you a story as we finish this morning. I remember about 20 years ago, I traveled with a Chinese brother. I got to spend quite a bit of time with him as we traveled in countries in the West. His name is George Chen. Chinese pastor. He was a medical doctor. He was an intellectual. And he was also a pastor. So in the 50s, he was arrested, and he had to serve 18 years in prison in China. And because of his background as an intellectual and as a pastor, they wanted to humiliate him and crush him and break him. So his job in the prison was to empty a pit with human waste, a septic tank. It was 2 meters wide, 2 meters long, and 2 meters deep. One of these pits were filled every day, and his job was to empty it. So he said he often had to step into the pit. He said, many times I stood with human waste up to my armpits, digging out that stuff. They used it to fertilize the fields. And then he told me, he said, Ivan, I just loved that work. He saw the unbelief in my face. So he said, Ivan, you don't understand. You see, in the prison, we could never be alone. We were under surveillance 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. But when I was in the pit, in the septic tank, The stench was so horrendous that the prison guards stayed far away. They wouldn't come close. And the other prisoners could not plague me either. They stayed far away so I could be alone. Alone with God. He said I could recite scriptures. And the only Bible that I had for 18 years were the scriptures I had memorized before I was put in prison. There I could pray. I could empty my heart before the Lord. And then he said, there I could sing songs of worship. I could sing songs of praise as loudly as I wanted, and nobody would disturb me. And he said, my favorite song during those years was that old British hymn, I Came to the Garden Alone. I come to the garden alone while the dew is still on the roses. And the voice I hear falling on my ear, the Son of God discloses. And he walks with me, and he talks with me, and he tells me I'm his own. And the joy we share as I tarry there, none other has ever known. And he said, Ivan, many times I long back to the pit in China. I said, how can you say that? He said, because never before, never afterwards, have I sensed the presence of God, the intimacy with Jesus, stronger than there. When I started to sing songs of worship, when I started to do the possible, God intervened. When you praise the Lord, God doesn't always change the circumstances, but he can change the climate of the circumstances. Then even a septic tank can become a garden. And I remember then George looked at me and he pointed to me and said, Ivan, where's your garden? Where's your garden? You see the principle? God will only tell you to do what is possible. He will never tell you to do anything that is impossible. And he's waiting to intervene. But he's waiting for you to do that simple thing that often requires faith. That often requires that you step beyond your own resources. And when you do the possible, that's when he can release his power from heaven. And he will do the impossible, what no man can do. And in this glorious way, we're called to be God's co-workers. And then the sky is not even the limit. There is nothing that can stop. And we see that in the book of Acts. And I think that's what God wants for us even today. I don't know where you are today. We live different lives with different challenges. Maybe you feel that you're faced with a huge mountain. Maybe you're just faced with a little molehill. Maybe you feel like you're in the wilderness. Maybe you feel like you are in something more like a prison. Wherever you are, instead of beating at the prison walls, instead of blaming the Lord, instead of asking for a way out, that God will remove the mountain or whatever, ask him this simple question. Jesus, show me one thing you want me to do right now. One step, the next step. And as God starts revealing the next step, expect the miracle working power of God to intervene. It might not change the circumstances, like with Brother Chen, but he can change the climate. He can make even a septic tank a garden. He has his ways. But the power of the kingdom is at our disposal. Do you see it? Father, we ask you to let this not just be some interesting words. But Father, we ask that this will be something that we can bring home with us. Something that you can use in our lives. So we can learn more about the ways of the kingdom, and that we can serve you. Father, there is a dying world out there. And Lord, we recognize that we will never reach the world for you. We will never see the world evangelized if you just use human means. Lord, we need you, miracle working power. We need that you come and you do miracles in our lives and through our ministry. So Father, I pray that you will show each one of us the next step in our journey. And Father, I'd like to bless the pastor of this church. I'd like to bless this church. Father, let this be a body of Christ that can change the whole environment here, Lord. That can have influence in DB and beyond to the ends of the earth. In the name of Jesus, amen.
It's all received. God the Father, and the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, and the blessed fellowship of the Holy Spirit, stir up the fire, both in ChinaCare International, the people like Ivan, Nina, and Robbie, everyone here this morning that they represent, and it goes way beyond them. You are still multiplying the loaves and the fishes, bringing good news to dark places through this group, and we praise you and pray continue to stir up the fire in their hearts. And Lord, bless every brother and sister of the DBICC family, that we too will not look at the circumstances of